The prophet Amos levels serious charges against his people and his nation. Corrupt and deceptive business practices that exploit the poor. Outward conformity to religious observances while impatiently awaiting the time that the markets will once again open and even more profit can be squeezed from those in greatest need. Amos's accusations are directed to a particular people at a particular time in history. But the issues he lays bare continue to afflict us today. Amos is not describing the actions of a few rogue individuals. Rather, he's condemning deeply entrenched systems of injustice and oppression. We know something of those systems today. We still experience the effects of the mortgage crisis and banking collapse that took place a few years ago. The disparity in income between the wealthiest and the poorest Americans has grown exponentially over the past 30 years. Inequities in wealth are even more pronounced when viewed on a global scale. 17% of the world's population consumes 80% of its resources. And my friends, we are in that 17%. Billions of people worldwide lack access to adequate food, clean water, or decent housing. Such widespread and persistent economic injustice is one manifestation of our human condition that Christians call sin. The renunciations we make at our baptism point to the scope of the problem. Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? Do you renounce the evil powers of this world that corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God? These renunciations acknowledge forces beyond our individual lives and beyond our immediate control. Theologian Walter Wink calls these the powers, with a capital P, spiritual forces of domination and control that are sustained by violence. Our lives are affected by massive institutions, social structures, and systems over which any one of us has little influence. The prophet Amos names the systems of his day and proclaims God's judgment against the nation. He foretells a terrible end, darkness at midday, death, destruction, songs of joy turned to lamentation, and feasts become times of mourning. Even worse than starvation and thirst, Amos warns, will be the silence of God. Spiritual desolation, according to Amos, may be the most terrible fate of all. Were that the final word, it would be grim indeed. The chapter we heard from Amos today summarizes his primary message: God's judgment and God's punishment in response to the injustice and religious hypocrisy rampant in the nation. But the book of Amos doesn't end here. In the final verses of the final chapter, Amos moves from judgment to hope. The prophet promises that cities will be rebuilt. harvests will be plentiful. Sweet wine will once again flow in the land. God is faithful, and new life will burst forth from the ruins of the old. This, my friends, is our Christian story. At the core of our faith is the mystery of Jesus Christ crucified and risen, and the promise that we who are baptized into his death will walk in newness of life. The letter to the Colossians that we heard this morning puts it in cosmic terms. All things in heaven and on earth were created through Christ. Everything, including powers and dominions and rulers. In Christ, all things hold together. Through Christ, God reconciles everything to God's self. And so in baptism, our triple renunciation of spiritual forces of wickedness and evil powers of the world and sinful desires is followed by a triple commitment: turning to Christ, putting our trust in his grace and love, promising to follow and obey him. In a few minutes in this service, we will have an opportunity to reaffirm our renunciation of evil and renew our baptismal commitment to Christ. It's an unusual time in the church year for us to recite these promises. On the liturgical calendar, this is an ordinary Sunday. In between our Pentecost celebration of the gift of the Holy Spirit that set the disciples on fire, and the Feast of All Saints, when we rejoice in our communion with the disciples and with one another and with Christians in every time and place. But over the past week, our nation has been reminded of the racism that affects all of us. A jury's decision that George Zimmerman was not guilty of murdering Trayvon Martin, an unarmed African-American man, laid bare the wounds of racism. The verdict came just a day after the opening of the movie Fruitvale, reminding us of the death of another unarmed black man, Oscar Grant. This one practically in our own backyard. The deaths of Oscar and Trayvon put a very human face on a pernicious evil that extends far beyond particular human relationships. As Christians, we are called and empowered through baptism to resist the evils of racism, as well as pervasive economic injustice and every other system of domination and oppression. We cannot do so on our own, but we can and we must reach out to others to speak the truth about powers that corrupt and destroy, to seek forgiveness, healing, reconciliation, to work together for a more just and peaceful world. The conversations over the past week on radio and TV, on Facebook and Twitter, and across the internet are one way people are naming and pondering the effects of racism. Rallies and marches across the country are yet another way. Our baptismal covenant grounds us, first of all, in our belief in God who creates all that is, who became flesh in Jesus, who works in us and others through the Holy Spirit. Because we believe in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we make specific promises to live as the body of Christ in the world. We promise to persevere in resisting evil. No small thing in a world scarred by racism and environmental degradation and vast economic disparities, to name just a few of those evil powers. We promise to seek and serve Christ in all persons, to see the face of Christ in friend and stranger of whatever race. We promise that we will respect the dignity of every human being, countering messages of racism that privilege some over others. We promise to strive for justice and peace among all people. Being Christian does not remove us from the forces of oppression and domination that pervade our world. And so we make each of our promises with God's help, recognizing our human weakness and acknowledging God, whose power can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Renewing our baptismal covenant today will not in itself change the world. We return to this place week after week to pour out our prayers for the needs of the world and to be fed by word and sacrament. Here, again and again, we are restored to our baptismal union with Christ. And we are strengthened to be the body of Christ in the world. Here, we are granted a vision of justice, offering us hope in times of despair and courage to walk in newness of life.